So we were discussing about Sadhu Sangha, right? Association of saintly people, saint personalities, sadhus, who are real sadhus. And we are reading it from Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and Maharaj is continuing from yesterday on the same topic. Krishna himself is speaking to Uddhava, and he's saying, "Dear Uddhava, because you are my friend and you are my well-wisher and you are always staying with me, I am revealing to you the most secret, the real secret. It's the most confidential thing which I am revealing it to you." And he says, "What's that?" He says, "You know, when realized souls or Mahapurush, Mahatjan, when they sit together and when they do satsang, what is satsang? They discuss about the pastimes of the Lord and they discuss about different aspects of bhakti and they're relishing with him. This is called satsang. When they are performing this, then I get attracted the most. I'm completely fascinated and captured by this thing. No other means like yoga, sankhya, dharma, swadhyaya, tap, tyag, vrata, yajna, titha prayatan, yam, niyam, vedadhyan, etc., etc., etc. Nothing can please me as much as satsang." So this is the importance of satsang. Krishna himself is saying that I am completely controlled by this. Now, here, we should understand when we are comparing bhakti with so many other things, that means these other things like yoga, sankhya, dharma, swadhi, whatever we said, etc., they are also capable of doing something. Otherwise, how could they be in comparison with bhakti? That means there is something in these things also. But it is not good to the extent that they can attract Krishna or they can capture Krishna. So that's why bhakti is the most powerful means to catch hold of Krishna and to control him. Now, how is it like that? He says, "I'm completely controlled as a wife by all good service mood, and by her serving nature she controls the husband. As Draupadi, she controls her five husbands completely. Similarly, bhakti controls me." And what kind of bhakti? Bhakti and all these mahapurush when they sit together and when they do satsang. So this is the importance of satsang. Now we will be discussing one after another all these different other means which we just disclosed. First we are talking about Ashtanga Yoga. So in Ashtanga Yoga, when we read the word yoga, it generally means Ashtanga Yoga. In Bhagavad Gita, yam, niyam, asan, pranayam, dhyan, dharan, samadhi, all these different states, eightfold system of yoga. But here in this verse, we are not referring to this yoga because this is already discarded. This is no way to please Krishna. But here we are targeting yoga described in Bhagavad Gita in the 9th chapter, Bhakti Yoga. That can attract Lord to some extent, not to the full extent. Because here also when Mahaprabhu in his conversation with Ramananda Roy, so he's saying that, "Iho Vachya, just leave this also." Right? Because this Bhakti Yoga is full of Aishwarya. So you will have Narayan Bhakti up to the Vaikuntha level, not beyond that. Similarly, Sankhya Yoga. Sankhya Yoga means Tattva Gyan. Tattva Gyan means Bhagavat Tattva Gyan, Atma Tattva Gyan, Bhakti Tattva Gyan, Maya Tattva Gyan, etc., etc. These all. Or in other words, analytical study of all these different subjects is called Sankhya Yoga. Now, can we attract Lord by this means? Says, yes, you can attract Lord up to some extent, but not to the full extent. So that's why Mahaprabhu even said Iho Vajje to this also. We will accept only those things out of Sankhya Yoga which are favorable to Harikatha. When we hear Harikatha, whatever is conducive to this, that we will take. Rest we will leave off. And we hear that two Kapilas, one in Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila, and there is one also he is not an incarnation of the Lord. He is coming in some Agni Vansha, and he probably was some saint or something. He was impersonalist actually. He also gave definition of Sankhya Yoga. He spoke a lot on Sankhya Yoga. But his conception of God was impersonal. He was making everything conclusion of that. But when we're talking about Lord Kapila, he's different. He's not that, but he's from Srimad Bhagavatam. And he is giving definition of Sankhya Yoga by telling this world is made up of air, earth, water, fire, ether, etc., sky, like that. And there are three subtle ingredients of the body. Eight ingredients put together make this thing, and this is Prakriti. And then Paramatma is there in each and every part and parcel in all the living entities. Like this. This is all called Sankhya Yoga. So it's putting everything down to the level that Prakriti is the main thing, which activates the whole process. But we know that woman may be capable to produce a child, but unless she gets in association with men, no possible. So that's why the main cause of creation is Purusha, not Prakriti. That is God, Krishna himself. That we should understand. So this knowledge, this kind of Sankhya Yoga can attract Lord up to some extent, but not to the highest extent. Why? Because by this Sankhya Yoga you understand I am deep, I am part and parcel of God. So what I should do? I should serve him in dasya mood. Mood of awe and reverence. This is not. This is Aishwarya. You can't do any prema mayi bhakti in that level. So that's why we say yo vajya that also. But still, this Lord Kapila in Bhagavad is better than the other Kapila we just discussed, because he's completely impersonal. But we should understand that even this Sankhya Yoga also will not let us have any prema bhakti with Krishna. Now, the word next comes dharma. Dharma means basically means there's so many things coming in dharma on the level of varnashram, and one of the aspects is ahimsa. Ahimsa, you know? Yeah, non-violence, not killing. So basically, they say we should not harm anybody by body, mind, and words. We should not perform ahimsa by any of these means. Don't speak any such words that you disturb anybody's heart. And even by body, don't do any practice that you hit somebody or kill somebody like that. This is called ahimsa. But the Vaishnava definition would be, real non-violence would be if you teach people about Krishna consciousness. Because if you just let them stay on the bodily platform of life, then they're killing their soul. This is real violence. This is ahimsa. So we should avoid that. Even those people, those parents who don't teach their children to become Krishna conscious, to become devotees, they are also doing violence, ahimsa. They're doing hinsa. So they should avoid this. They should teach the children to become Krishna conscious. It is also very difficult to perform pure devotional service, Shuddha Bhakti, in Varnashram Dharma. Why? They may be doing Bhakti of Vishnu, going to temples, and they will call it Bhakti. But there's a very subtle thing in that, and they will never understand. What is Dehabhimana? What is Dehabhimana? Every time they're doing that with the conception, I am the doer, relating themselves with this body, so they can't give it off. This will always stay in Varnashram Dharma.
Abhiman.
So they will always stay on this platform, and they will say, I am the doer, which is nowhere can be accommodated in pure devotional service.
Doesn't that depend on the individual?
Of course, but we are talking about Varnashram Dharma, all those people who are following Varnashram Dharma.
They are in the consciousness of that.
Yes. So they have to follow their devotional platform according to the rules and regulations mentioned in the Vedas for particular social order or spiritual order in which they are, like that. But then we should understand what bhakti actually means. What is the definition of bhakti? The definition of bhakti is avichinna gati se te dharavat nirantar chitta krishna me lagna. Arthat, when all the tendencies or propensities of our heart and mind, they run in uninterrupted continuous ways towards the lotus feet of Krishna. This is not verse, this is a general proverb of Maharajut. It speaks often in Hindi. Tel dharavat avichinna gati se chitta vritti ka Krishna milajna. This is bhakti. Uninterrupted, continuous. When our all tendencies go in the lotus feet of Krishna or towards him, that is bhakti. And also, swadhyay. Swadhyay means what? Reading and understanding Vedas, trying to understand Vedas. By this means also you can't please Krishna. Tapa. Tap means torturing, tapasya, austerity, torturing your body. Not even by this means you can please Krishna. Tyaga means renunciation, sannyas. You may take sannyas also, but this is outwardly. It will not also please Krishna. Or dan. Dan, first meaning would be trying to work for the upliftment of people, trying to do their benefits or making well for poor people, etc., etc.
What about svajjaya? Is that the same thing when we're studying, when we're reading Shastra? Is that also
svajjaya? That's also aspect of svajjaya. But when we talk about this as part of yoga, then svajjaya, they don't have any conception of trying to serve the Lord and like those things. They will just absorb themselves in reading.
That's true.
Yes.
Really not gyan,
yeah. It's part of gyan. That is svajjaya. Not even by that. Then dakshina. Dakshina means dan. You may give so much charity. Even by this also you can't please the Lord. Why? Why you can't please the Lord by charity? Because what do you can give? What can you give? What do you have anything? We didn't brought anything, so what you can give? So this conception means they are feeling I am the doer and I am doing. So this is no way you can please Krishna. But if it is in the mood to serve, oh, may this be accepted as a service to the Lord or to the devotees. Then it can be accepted or it can please Krishna. Are performing Ekadashi Vratas, Upavas. They are all sort of people who are performing Ekadashis. Karmis, Jnanis, Yogis, Swadhyayis, all these people, they also perform Ekadashis. But because they have a different goal, they want their material desires or their goal for liberation, etc. So that's why that's not Ekadashi. So it will always differ from individual to individual when they're performing Ekadashi Vratas. Unless you have a clearly pure motivation, you can't please Krishna.
But if you perform Ekadashi, doesn't Ekadashi with your devotion thing, no matter which
path, for which purpose you are performing? But that's very long process. That's why you can't please Krishna. Very long process. You see, we should understand, unless the living entity wants himself to have pure devotional service, no matter about the saintly personalities, even Krishna can't help you. It's true. We understand this from Chitraketu Pathyan in Bhagavatam. You know that? This is from Bhagavan, where Maharaj Chitraketu, who later on becomes Vritrasura. In his previous life, he's King Chitraketu. And he's very desirous of having a son. And then he has, how many wives? 3 crore, 3 million, 65, yeah, like that.
What is it, 1 million?
1 million? 1 million, I'm not sure. Okay. One million. He has 1 million wives, but he doesn't have a children. So now he wants to have a son because he's a king. He should look after the kingdom, etc. Now the king is very much worried. So Angira Rishi, who is also son of Brahma, just like Narada, he comes to him. And he wants to tell him, oh, why you want to get entangled in this whole thing, become Krishna conscious. But he sees that he's completely gone. I mean, he's completely absorbed in his desire to have son. He's not ready to listen anymore. So then he gives him a benediction, okay, you'll have a son. But he said, we will name him Harsha Shoka. Harsh means pleasure, happiness. Shoka means sorrow, bereavement. So he said, we'll give him this name. He said, why? Harsh, why? Because you'll have a son. It's a thing of, to be very happy. It's a very special thing. And sorrow, maybe sometimes he will not hear me, he will not listen. So that happens. Children always do like that. That is also for pleasure. No problem. It doesn't make sense. Now, even somewhere, some acharyas have commented that Angira Rishi himself came as his son. They've commented really? Somewhere. He himself came as his son. Now what happens? He gets a son, and the son is alive and everybody's happy, and there's so much celebration in the whole kingdom, and it's a big festival. Now, he has son from a particular wife. Now, he's naturally attracted more to that wife, and is getting more and more attention and more time. Rest all the wife, you become jealous. Oh, now king is giving all his attention to this lady and we are getting no attention from him. So they make a plan and they give poison to the children and he dies. Again, as soon as they give, they feel sorrow, oh, what we have done. Just for our pleasure, we kill the son. They lament. But this is a different thing. Now the whole empire, the whole kingdom gets into mode of sorrow. And the king also is completely, heart is shattered, broken now, what to do? He has one son. So he's crying and on the spot, Narada Muni and Angirishi, both of them, they come. And now they tell him about devotional service, Krishna consciousness and everything and all that. Still, he doesn't want to listen. Then Narada, by his powers, he get that son back to life. And then he speaks. And Narada Muni says, oh, why did you leave your father in such a young age? You have to stay and you have some duties for him, prescribed duties. You must perform that. And then later become the king and do your duty to your father. Then only you should leave. And he said, which father are you talking about? Which one? I had so many father and mother. I was a cat and I was a dog and I was a... So many things. I go, which father and mother are you talking about? And the king hears what this boy is talking. Funny old boy is speaking. And then his desire, the intense desire, breaks. Detachment. Then Angira Muni and Angira Rishi and Narada Muni, they gave him some mantra for the worship of Lord Sankarshan. And then he performed that mantra. And then later on, he achieves his goal and becomes a pure devotee of the Lord. So we understand in this pastime that you may hear Harikatha, you may associate with big and big, very exalted persons. But if you have Abhinivesh, what is Abhinivesh? You have desire for your own enjoyment, for desires apart from Krishna consciousness, apart from pure bhakti, nobody can help you. They can just give you more sanskaras, more sukritis, like that. But ultimately, things will happen rapidly if there is no other Abhinivesh. You don't have any other goal, any other desire. And you just want bhakti. Then things happen quickly. Similarly, here we understand that if you perform Ekadashi with just the motivation of having pure devotional service at the lotus feet of Krishna, then Ekadashi is so powerful, things will happen so quickly. But otherwise, you read all the different Ekadashis, their purpose, giving their importance and glories, what does it say? This Ekadashi will give you a child, this Ekadashi will give you swarga, this Ekadashi will give you a good woman, this Ekadashi will give you this Ekadashi will give you this. Generally to encourage people to perform Ekadashi, because otherwise they will not fast and follow them. But then they get a hidden fruit that later on, after a number of maybe how much life, and you can't say, they'll get this fruit of life. That's the difference. So there's big difference between individuals because their desires are varying. Not even by yajna.
Abhinivesh,
yeah? Not even by yajna. Means sacrifice. Because this is the people, they are performing this yajna for the pleasure of demigods. But if yajna is performed according to Bhagavad Gita for the pleasure of Vishnu, then we can say it's a little bit conducive, favorable for devotional service, not all. That yajna is already discarded when it's for Lord Indra, etc. Or if it's Sankirtan yajna, that is very good, most pleasing to the Lord. And if that Sankirtan yajna is in the association of pure devotees, then nothing better than that, nothing like it. Then you can please the Lord so fast, so quickly. Also, Teeth Prayatan. Teeth means pilgrimage. People going for Ganges or here and there. So they may go, or they may go to Prayag. So by this means also you can't please Krishna so much. But if they come to Vrindavan, and still also we see in Vrindavan and Braja people with so many different desires. And you ask them, you'll find them, they're sitting in Radhakund, they're sitting in Keshigad or all these places, and to do oblation ceremonies for their forefathers, they will go to Prayag, or they will go to Gaya in Kashi. Now, they don't understand what Vrindavan Dham is. They don't understand the importance of Vrindavan. Otherwise, why they would go there? So, if you're living in Vrindavan only with the intention, with having a single-pointed mood for devotion for Krishna, then it is very good. Then you can capture Krishna or you can control him. Devotees are so powerful because in Vrindavan, you see devotees and they are even more powerful than Ganges, because that song is there by Narottam Thakur is saying, Gangara Parashvale Paschate Pavan Darshane Pavitra Kare Itomakur. That you go to Ganges, but unless you take a dip in Ganges, you can't get purified. But Vaishnavas, just by darshans, take the darshans and you get purified. So they are so powerful. But what kind of Vaishnava should be there? What kind of sadhu? What kind of saint he should be? That we have to know. Also, Yam, Niyam, all these things, they can't please the Lord. Shorts, there are 12 different kind of shorts kriya. Shorts kriya means process of cleaning, to keep ourselves clean. There are normal routine acts we do, get up in the morning, and then we are cleaning our teeth and going for passing stools, urine, etc. Cleaning body internally, externally, all these things are there in yam, niyam. Satya, always speaking truth. That also doesn't express the Lord, although it may be mundane reality. If I say, what's your name, you'll just say, my name is this. But that's not reality. That's relative. You may be something else in last life, and next life you'll become something else. Or I may say where you're staying, and you give description of such and such place. So this is not truth, actually. Still, we should always, although it's mundane, that we should try to speak truth. If we practice for 1 year speaking truth, honestly always, then your tongue will become powerful. Whatever words emanate from mouth, they will get fulfilled. So much power will come. Or maybe some devotees in the temple, and then they're staying, and they don't feel like coming to Arati because they're lazy, and then they ask, they say, I was sick, I couldn't come. It's all lies. We should not just say, oh, it is mundane, so it doesn't matter. No, we have to be honest. Then we can please Lord. Because then your power, your words will become powerful, they'll become truthful. Or in other words, Atma or Atma ka vishay means soul, and the object of soul is the only truth. That's the mere reality. There's nothing else apart from it. Soul and the object of soul. What is the object of soul? Paramatma, Krishna, Parabrahma. That is the object. These two things are virtual reality. Virtual?
Huh?
Virtual reality or the real?
Actual reality.
Actual reality, yeah. This is actual reality. So if we just always keep speaking lie on little small things, then we will people will not have any more faith on us. We'll lose our faithfulness from different people. Even we know that Yudhishthir used to speak always truth, and Duryodhan was his enemy, opposite party, but still he would always believe Yudhishthir for what he was saying. He knew that Yudhishthir will always speak truth. Or in the case of Kansa also, although he was as an opponent to Vasudev because he was killing Devaki, but still on the plea of Vasudev he gave Devaki to him. He said, okay, now you can stay in the prison. He believed the words of Vasudev. Vasudev said, we'll give you like this. So if your words are powerful, you can even control an opposite party if you're always speaking truth. So we should also stop stealing. We should not steal things. Chori mat karo. And what is stealing actually? Stealing means that you take somebody's object without informing him. Take somebody. This is chori. We should not do this. Asanga mat karo. Asanga means association of bad people or mundane people or materialistic people. We should avoid that. We should not be afraid to sit near sadhus. Maharaj was telling that Param Guruji used to tell that there's so many people who are afraid to come to near us. Why? Because we always speak so clearly about bhakti and detachment and these things. So they fear by coming here because we'll be hearing so many. They would not come near to. But those who doesn't have any of that, they'll just walk near to and sit near to. So like that, we should try to be pure-hearted in ourselves. Don't try to understand sadhus that they are like Yamraj. Because sadhus are always speaking to us, so some people consider them Yamraj. Yamraj, you know? Yes. Also, we should avoid people who are day and night talking about themselves. Just talking about, oh, this happened to me, I went to this place. And then I was going to this place, this happened to me. And this person did this to me. Whenever they come to you, they're just talking about what happened to them or what they do for somebody like that. We should avoid these people. This is all bad association. And we should not do any collection or acquiring things. Our only asset should be bhakti, nothing else. And we should always be eager and enthusiastic to follow the instruction and orders of Mahapurush, all the saintly people. Yeah.
Why shouldn't you consider Yamaraj?
I was telling you in the pretext that Param Guruji Maharaj was telling was his own experience. that certain people, they are free to come near him. Why? Because if they go near him, then he's just telling and talking about pure bhakti and telling them, oh, this material world is like this and that. So they don't feel like sitting near him. Yeah. They consider him, he's Yamaraj. Mm. That's what I'm saying.
So if you consider him like that, I'm not sure.
Yeah. We should try to pure our consciousness. And sthir chitta. Our mind should be steady, steady in devotion, particularly in gopi bhav, should particularly steady, situated properly. We should also, understanding gopi bhav is the most and is the extreme thing. There's nothing less than that. Properly understanding. And brahmacharya, we should follow brahmacharya. Either male, female, everybody should follow brahmacharya. What does brahmacharya mean? Brahmin acharati de brahmacharya. Thinking and remembering or rooming in Brahma. What is this Brahma? Means Parabrahma. Means Krishna and his associates and his Harikatha. When you're always absorbed and dipped in Braj moods and talking about that, this is following brahmacharya. Also, external brahmacharya should be followed very strictly. And then, mon. Mon means always keeping silence. What does it mean? Not like that, you just keep your tongue closed for this much year of years, so 14 years I didn't spoke at all. Not like that. But not speaking any mundane topics. Just speaking Harikatha and Krishna Katha. This is mon. Doing kirtan, that's all is mon. Kshamashil. We should be always forgiving. If anybody has done anything, we should forgive. Not that we should make it a big thing and waste time, his and ours. And then, bhai. Bhai means fear. We should not fear. When we surrender ourselves to Krishna and we know that he's the protector and he'll protect us when we are following his instructions, he'll definitely protect us. So what's the point to be fearful? Like fearing in the future, oh, this will happen to me, or what will happen to me. And then again, short, bhaiya bhyantar short. Bhaiya bhyantar means that verse. Om apitra apitra vatra vastam gopi raja spitfundi kakshanta bhaiya bhyantar shuchi. Means cleanliness, pure. We should be fully pure by externally and outside and inwardly, by in our heart. How we can clean ourselves in heart? By chanting. If anybody, one who remembers pundrikaksha. Pundrik means whose eyes are like lotus eyed one. But this means it could mean anything, like any god on Vaikuntha platform, like Narayan or Narasingha or Vishnu or like that, but it will not certify Krishna. But do you remember Krishna? Then it means Krishna from Braj, Vasudev Krishna, Nandanandan Krishna. That we should understand. What to say of those people who are doing these mantras which they took in initiation, like Guru Mantra, Guru Gayatri, Gaur Mantra, Gaur Gayatri, all this. If they're doing this Kam Gayatri, all this, then they are highly purified. If they're doing it, provided they're doing in proper, in a very concentrated mind. It's not when they sit and their mind going in different directions. Sit and think about that, and it should be Prarthana Mulak. Prarthana Mulak what? It should be in the mood of praying. We should pray for mercy. These mantras are nothing. They're non-different from Lord. So we should pray to them. Prachodayat, please manifest in my heart. Please manifest in my heart. Like that we should be praying to these mantras. So then we become completely pure in our heart. Also, cleanliness outside should be maintained properly. And then we say in the mantra that Swaha. Swaha means so we should give ourselves in that. That means Swaha. Surrendering ourselves in the lotus feet of the Lord. Similarly, Jap, Tapasya, Om, Atithya, Parukkar, Santosh, Acharya ki Seva. All these things are there. And we should observe all these things. These are all different qualities. And then we should not do any mischief even on the level of the mind. What if you are practically trying to harm anybody or trying to do any bad thing, not even the level of mind, then what will happen if we are taking satsang in proper state of mind and consciousness, means completely in a pure platform, then what will happen? We will become gunatit. Gunatit, we'll cross these three modes of material nature and we'll uplift, we'll get uplifted from that. And then we can go, or we can become eligible to hear and understand and realize topics of Braja. These topics are so wonderful, these topics are so fascinating, that Krishna says, when I'm sitting in Vaikuntha and when devotees in Braja, they are talking, and then Braja. These topics are so wonderful, these topics are so fascinating, that Krishna says, when I'm sitting in Vaikuntha and when devotees in Braja, they are talking, and then I can't resist myself going there. And I even forget to stay in Vaikuntha. So this is so powerful. Satsang of Braj Bhakta. Very powerful. So, again, Sanatana Goswami Pada is saying, in continuation of all these things, so we should understand that association of powerful personalities who are pure saints, Mahat Purush, is very powerful. Don't have any doubt in that. Don't have any doubt. And also, Vidurji is also quoting some other verse, and he's saying that what is the end result of doing Shastra Shravan? Shravan means hearing. When you're hearing Shastras and hearing Shastras and hearing Shastras and all kind of Shastras you're hearing, what is the actual benefit? If you develop a desire, an intense desire, rather greed in your heart, to associate with people who are rasic, pure Vaishnavas, who are always absorbed in the thought of Braj. If this comes, then this is the result of hearing. That now you just want to meet these people and sit with them and talk with them about Harikatha. This is the real result of hearing. And how are these people? These people, they have the lotus feet of the Lord in their heart. He's sitting in their heart. These people are so special. So if the saintly personalities are like this, then it is said, sadhu sang, sadhu sang, sarva shastra kahe lava matra sadhu sang, sarva siddhi hoi. Take the association of sadhu sangha. Take the association of sadhu sangha. If you take the association of sadhu sangha even for one moment, then you are delivered in Kali Yoga. Right? Provided sadhu should be of that level. Ekantic, single-pointed, rasic, bhavuk. That is his qualities. And especially, he should be very much inclined for Raganuga Bhakti. And he should understand what is Raganuga Bhakti. Then he is proper sadhu. Because it all depends on sadhu sangha. All depends on the kind of sadhu sangha you get, that kind of bhakti you will perform. That kind of bhakti will manifest in your heart. If you are taking sadhu sangha of somebody who is in the Vedic marga, then what kind of bhakti you will drive in your heart? Vedi bhakti. And if you are having sadhu sangha of somebody who is in ragmarg, then you will drive bhakti, ragmargi bhakti. So it all depends on that. And again, if he is also very much realized in that, then he can bring you quickly to the platforms where he is. They say, here is, they are saying that actually sadhu sangha or hearing about the pastimes of sadhus is even more powerful than the Lord. Hearing about Lord and his activities, hearing about sadhus is even more powerful than that. Why? Because then by hearing about them, by learning about them, by knowing about them, you will understand how they were able to develop detachment from this material object and how they drive attraction and intense absorption for Lord and devotional service. You can understand that. How they perform sadhana bhajan. And also Dhruva Maharaj is saying the same thing in the fourth canto. He's saying, he said that, O Lord, the best benefit or the fruit result of all devotional and this devotional activities is that if devotees are able to see your lotus feet, take darshans of lotus feet. But he's saying, no, even more important than having the darshans of Lord is to sit with his devotees and discuss about it. That is even more important, he's saying. It's more most pleasing to the heart.
Where's the Tarotha?
He's saying from 4th canto, Dhruva Maharaj. And then he's saying it's more soothing, it's more pleasing, it's more satisfying. Definitely you drive satisfaction and pleasure by hearing pastimes about the Lord. But when you hear about the pastimes and leelas of all these devotees, then you get most benefited because you can relate yourself with them. And then what happens? Brahma Satchatkar, Atma Satchatkar, Bhagavat Satchatkar, this will happen. What are these three different terms? Brahma Satchatkar means when these jnanis, they are thinking that there is light, which is actually the effulgence from the body of the Lord. It is Anga Jyoti. This is Brahma Satchatkar. When they realize this, when they're able to see this, this is Brahma Satchatkar. And what is Atma Satchatkar? Atma Satchatkar means that when you realize your own self, who you are, this is Atma Satchatkar, knowing your Savrupa. And what is Bhagavat Satchatkar? Bhagavat Satchatkar is when you're able to realize the Supreme Personalities like Krishna or Ram along with their associates, then it is Bhagavat Satchatkar. So first two Satchatkars, like Atma Satchatkar and Brahma Satchatkar, they're not so beneficial because they can take you in the direction of liberation, mukti. But if you have proper sadhusanga, then may these realizations could be favorable for Bhagavat Satchatkar, not otherwise. Therefore, it is advised and it is preferred that we have association of the devotees of the Lord. And in their association, we hear Harikathas, like Krishna is going for cow grazing and all his sakas are going. And then what they are saying, Krishna signals them and they talk to cows. What they say, Dhiri Dhiri, Chini Chini, Choo Choo, they say this thing. And then the cows, they understand what they say and they act accordingly. What is like that? They say, Dhiri Dhiri. Dhiri means, now they will start eating grass. And then they will say, choo choo, means now go and drink water. So the cows and they drink water. So Krishna is there also and everybody is in a jubilant mood. So they understand all these things. Or his pastimes with Mother Yashoda, they're discussing about that. And Mother Yashoda comes and says, oh, you're a thief? In this small age you started stealing in different houses. And she takes in, what do you call it? Takes his ear and pulls his ear like that. Yes, like that. And Krishna is feeling so happy. He's so enjoying like that. All these beautiful pastimes they hear. They say, don't steal. If you steal in this age, then you'll become big thief. And then everybody will criticize us in the old brother. What do you say of his pastimes with gopis? How wonderful they are. And this is so enjoying that those who hear, they also get benefited. And even those who have sadhak in this world, they also get this. They also relish this, the pastimes, when they hear. And it gives so much ananda. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying the same thing. He says, Lord, I also don't want to stay in any abode, whatever you're giving. I just want birth after birth, birth after birth. I may take birth in any species, but I should be in the association of your devotees. And then in the association of your devotees, I should be able to hear and talk about your Harikatha. That's what I want. Our goal should be like that. We don't care about Golok, Vrindavan, this and that. We just want birth after birth. We should have association of Rasik Bhavuk Bhakt, in their association we may be able to qualify ourselves to go there. First, this should be our goal. And not only Mahat Purush, we should also try to serve and associate with the followers of Mahat Purush, those who are following, those who are serving him. Because his level is too high, we can't relate ourselves with him. We can't understand what is his mood, what is his doing, we can't understand that. So in order to understand that, we'll have to go to those people who are near him, who are serving him. And then in their shelter, in their guidance, we'll try to serve the Mahat Purush. Just like if in this assembly, if Sukadev Goswami walks in, what will happen? Naked person, young person, and his hair is growing, who will understand? And people will just say, oh, what kind of person has come?
just throw him in, just push him off somewhere. So we can't understand Mahapurush because they are on the they are not on the bodily platform like. Why? Because you know this is mitti, this is mud, this is another mud. So why I put mud on mud? Mud is covering mud for what reason? So they are on such a big level. They don't have any attention or any thinking of body, whether I have to eat now, I have to sleep now, completely above from this platform. So these are Mahapurush are like that.
But isn't it very abhigya?
We can call them abhigya.
Is it not every single kind of sadhu?
No. Those who are really Mahapurush, they can only perform like this. Just like later on is telling the pastime of Nityananda Prabhu also. It happened like that.
So this one, when it's saying about maybe you shouldn't associate directly with him,
but
with his...
It's not that don't associate directly with him, it's not like that, but he said, don't ignore his associate, because they are the real people who will benefit you. You associate with them, but if your level is not that high, you will misunderstand him.
So this can apply to any rustic bhakta,
See, you have to understand, in that time when we are talking about Sukhdev Goswami, when we are quoting this example, or now we are going to hear about Nityananda Prabhu, then it's like 400-500 years ago, and Sukhdev Goswami is again such a long period of time. That time people's consciousness and way of living was different, right? People were pure hearted more or less as compared to today, and they were understanding all these things. You trying to understand me? But these days now the environment is so much becoming materialistic and is more on the physical plane, So if now we want to say, because Guruji is wearing all these three top pieces, he's wearing this Bahirvas, Kanta, everything, so he's not that much Mahapurusha as Sukhdev Goswami is or any other Mahacharya, so to prove himself he should come naked in the class. No, that's not the point. The point is he can do that, he's not on that level. For him, you will observe personally, we see sometimes, many times with him, we can notice in our day-to-day dealings, they are really on not this platform. They are not care of if the cloth is torn off or this happened or that happened and it is not like this. But in order to teach us, they are very careful about this thing, just to teach us that we should not think, and they behave exactly like one of us. And who can behave so normally, so expertly as one of us? One who is on a very high platform. He only can behave in a very nice way. As we know in movies, if you're a very nice actor, then only you can perform a very good action of any doctor or any person. You can give all those expressions of that. But you're not that person. Just because you're a good actor, you can perform that act very nicely. Similarly, if you're a very realized soul, then you can come and act with these people on a very their day-to-day level. Just like become their friend. They will not even understand it. And then from this level, you can capture their feelings, their tensions, their attachments, and take it to Krishna. But one who is just trying to upgrade himself, and if he tries to act like that, that will be called imitation, he will be blooped. The point is clear. So it's not that they should not get close to prove themselves, but it is said that your point is being, what you call, anumodan. We agree with your point that it even applies to the present day Rasik and Bhavuk Vaishnavas who are on a very high platform. We must take an account of their associates also, and we should give them due respect and try to understand from them what he is acting, what is his mood like that. But if you can relate with him personally on that level, that's a different thing. But you have to really judge yourself if you can, if you can really understand them.
Because of the degraded
atmosphere.
You won't see any
real sadhus acting like that.
You wouldn't see it because they know it's not.
Nobody will appropriate because people will not understand. Nobody will understand. That's why it's the problem. Even I can say myself, I mean, if now tomorrow we see anybody for whom you have all the guts and is coming to you in a naked form, what will you say? Oh, he's gone, man, take him to doctor or something like that. Isn't it?
Yeah,
we can't capture those moods. So this is there. Now
even Chattara.
Yeah?
They were all using him, keeping on him.
Yeah. Even they didn't
know him.
Yes. And also that's one more aspect of now these days we have this preaching aspect. So this is especially no way favorable in preaching. because you're meeting people for the first time and you're meeting people from all different backgrounds. Those who probably doesn't have any conception of Bhakti, doesn't know anything about Shastra, even though they're Indians or Westerners, whatever you call them. They may claim, but they're not knowing. And you go and in any whimsical way, you're going to them in a very odd manner, you're going to approaching them. What to say of not being close, you just even don't talk to them. So, if you're having powerful association of this kind of sadhus on such a big level, then what will happen? What benefit you will get? The secondary benefit would be that you will also gradually come up from the bodily platform of life very easily if you're in their spirit. But this is what? This is secondary benefit. This is not the main thing. The main thing is you'll get love of God. That's the main thing. Gradually you'll start forgetting about your personal needs and this and that, coming about this above this platform. And every time you'll be just absorbed in remembering pastimes and leelas, leela katha. And just like they're always absorbed. What they're thinking? They're thinking one pastime of Radhakund. What is happening in Radhakund?
Today,
Srimati Radhika, she's having man and she doesn't want to meet Krishna. She doesn't want to meet Krishna and she's hidden herself somewhere in one of the kunjas. And Krishna is mad. And he's going from one kunj to another kunj, one kunj to another kunj, from another to third kunj, and is unable to see where Srimati Radhika. And he's desperate, there she is, and he's looking, and is unable to find. And then, one of the sakhis, she says like this, with her eyes, she tracks, oh, she is sitting in that kunj. And he runs there, and in that kunj. And Srimati Radhika comes out, and she heals, not on Krishna, on this Rupanji. Why you told him? And Rupanji says, oh dear sakhi, why are you yielding on me? I didn't say. Maybe Chitra said. I didn't say like this. So they are absorbed in this time. So do you have time to think on your bodily thing when you are such a big platform? You don't have a time. That is it. They don't even care for Archan. If you are in such a platform level, you are doing bhav seva, mansik seva, you will not even have time to do Archan. So that doesn't mean that you are not devotee if you are not taking care of Archan. This was happening with Mahaprabhu also. Archan means arthik and all this. Just with Mahaprabhu, somebody gave him Giriraj Shila, and as soon as he sees Giriraj, he reminds of the real Giriraj and the whole pastime, and for 8 hours, 10 hours, he's just thinking and tears falling off, and they forget to give him bhoga offering and all things, and the people come to you, oh, you didn't give him anything, and Giriraj, but he's a completely different set from, so he said, okay, I'll give it to Raghunath Goswami. He said, okay, you take it. And Raghunath Goswami is saying, where do I have time, Baba? You're giving it to me. He said, okay, no problem, you just gave him 8 or 10 tulsi leaves and gave him water, this way you can give him his service. So then Raghunath Das Goswami is doing that and giving tulsi, but they are always absorbed in the leela. There. Yeah, like that. I mean, he doesn't have time to do any more things for Krishna because he's doing that so much highly favors on the platform of bhav, etc. So because they don't have any awareness of their body, just like we know about, we hear this past name about Nityanand Prabhu. What happened with Nityanand Prabhu? He was sitting in the Shiva Sangan and he was always would act in, he would remember one of the pastimes of Braj and he would start acting like Baladev and or something like that on Krishna. And this time he took all his clothes off from his body and then he's putting his clothes which he wears to, on his waist and putting on his head and running for Mother Shachi as Yashoda Maya and saying, calling Yashoda Maya, running off on the road naked. And he doesn't know, and he's running off, and Mahaprabhu says, oh, he doesn't know anything, and then Mahaprabhu runs and gives his top, and then gives it on Nathan and so on. So this is a level they don't know. They're not on the bodily platform. Just like Madira Dimatta Bhakti, just like a person who has taken intoxication, and intoxication, and intoxicated, and then his clothes fall off, or what happens, he doesn't know, and he's falling in drain, where he doesn't know anything. So this is Haridas Madhira. What kind of effect can it have? Such a powerful effect, which you understand. So if we are fortunate to have association of such kind of sadhus, then it's our fortune. And in some lifetime, we may also be able to develop such qualities in their association. We know generally most of the people, they are always staying on this material platform, on the platform of body, Dehatma Buddhi, always. Day to night they are just making different arrangements to to comfort your body by this way or that. Jaina, they all activities are centered around this. Even they will perform bhakti, but then they will keep in mind, oh, if I should be able to perform this way and this way and this way, that it's not conducive to my body, because most of the time staying on this platform. But anyway, if we are having association of realized source, then gradually we can develop this higher consciousness. And especially when you come to old age, then forget it. You're always having this disease or that disease. You will not have any time to do it. So it's good, those who are in young age, whatever they can do, they should do it in this age. But we should understand, not having awareness about bodily activities is external symptom of bhakti. It's not the main symptom of bhakti. It's not the internal symptom. What is the internal symptom? What is the internal lakshan? We should understand. Internal lakshan we just discussed. They are absorbed in this pastime and they are serving in this pastime. So unless you develop that kind of level and you try to act like that, then it is wrong, and then it will be very disastrous for any such person who tries to imitate this thing. But rather, very honestly, with a pure and simple heart, if he tries to elevate his consciousness and come on this level, and then if these things happen to him, this will happen naturally, automatically it will happen. He'll forget about all his bodily needs. That is advised. Krishna. And then for these people, they are samchitta. What is samchit? Samchit means equal-hearted. Means in their vision, everybody is equal. Nobody is their enemy or nobody is their friend. Even we hear from Yudhishthira Maharaj, everybody would call Duryodhan as Duryodhan, but he will call him Suryodhan. You heard this? Suryodhan. Duryodhan word itself means very bad person. And Suryodhan means very good person. So he would always address him as Suryodhan, not Suryodhan.
Why does Duryodhan have this name? I mean, who's going to have a name like this? Very bad.
Well, in India you always have very meaningful names. It's not you have any kind of name. So
that's an insulting name.
I know, there are some people they want to have names as Ravan and some want to have name as Kasnol.
Born brain like a cat, right?
Because their stars are like that, their star arrangement is like that, then they prefer, they give him name they choose. Your name should be from this world because your qualities are like that. That's what you're going to do in your life, so your name should be accordingly chosen. So in India we keep very meaningful names. If it's Arjuna or if it's Ram or if Ravan, it's very appropriate.
What people call Ravan?
Some people they want to have their sons named as Ravan. Some people. Because they have a very great regard for Ravan. Especially in Sri Lanka and South India people, we have some parts, they worship Ravan there.
Yeah, right.
There are some places. Yes.
No, one
aspect from the mundane aspect, he was definitely a very pandit scholar and he was also a very good devotee of Shiva and all that, so maybe they are worshipping these qualities because they may consider Shiva as the Supreme Personality of God. It's not everybody knows the real thing that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God and who is his devotee. Not everybody have clear indication of all these things.
Right.
So it depends on individual consciousness, what kind of jnana they have acquired so far, knowledge like that. So these devotees are also called as Ajat Shatru because nobody is their enemy. Ajat Shatru means one who doesn't have any enemy. Or they are having Prashanta Hriday. Prashanta Hriday means their heart is not just shant, but it is Prashanta. Prashanta means, just like we call it Pacific Ocean. So Prashanta Mahasagar is called Pacific Ocean. So it is very cool. No matter how many rivers fall into it, and no matter how much amount of water you put in there, still it is steady, cool, so deep, nothing happens. Like that, Prashanta. And they are Akrodh, no anger. Suhrid, they are well-wishers. Well-wisher of not just in the for living entities, but they are well-wishers of Krishna because they are his devotees. That is Suhrid. Sadachari. Sadachari means what? Those who follow all kind of discipline as stated by Mahaprabhu, all his instructions, that is called Sadachari. And this Suhrit is the main qualities among all the different qualities we discussed. Mere Prati Suhrit means Krishna is saying, this is very important. If they are well wishes for me, if they are my well wishes, this is a key quality. This is a master quality of all. If you have this, if you have a proper relationship with Krishna, then all other qualities will be following you and will come around you automatically. You will not have to make any separate endeavor for that. Just like the Sakhas, Yashoda or Ashtakis like that, according to their level they are becoming Suhrit. Sakhas, they are Suhrit of Krishna, but Yashoda, Maya and Nand Baba, they are more Suhrit to Krishna. And then Gopis, they are more Suhrit to Krishna. And Ashtakis, they are even more Suhrit to Krishna. And among them, two Sakhis, Srimati Radhika and Chandrava, they are even more Suhrit to Krishna. And among them also, Srimati Radhika is the best well-wisher of Krishna, like that. So, all these things can happen in the association of Mahat Purush, Mahapurush. Their association can give us all this benefit. So satsang or sadhusang is so important. And we always say we should develop taste in chanting. We say so many things, we should develop taste to read and to understand all the things, but the key is sadhusang. If you have this, automatically without any effort you will derive taste for chanting. You will also derive taste and interest in this topic, and your mind and heart, all the tendencies will automatically flow towards Krishna uninterrupted, continuously, forever. This is bhakti and the importance and glories of sadhusam. For Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.
Actually, Sri Ramaraji describes that
we will be lost in this world and in the next. Service begins with the tongue, Sevan Mukhe Hi Jivado, which means that we should always chant the holy names of the Lord and accept Krishna Prasad. We should not chant or accept anything else. When this process is faithfully followed, the Supreme Lord reveals himself to the devotee. When a person realizes himself to be an eternal servitor of Krishna, he loses interest in everything but Krishna's service. Always thinking of Krishna, devising means by which to spread the holy name of Krishna, he understands that his only business is in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Such a person is to be recognized as an Uttama Adhikari, and his association should be immediately accepted according to the six processes, Dadati, Pratigranati, etc. Indeed, the advanced Uttama Adhikari, Vaishnav devotee, should be accepted as a spiritual master. Everything one possesses should be offered to him, for it is enjoined that one should deliver whatever he has to the spiritual master. The brahmachari in particular is supposed to beg alms from others and offer them to the spiritual master. However, one should not imitate the behavior of an advanced devotee or Mahabhagavat without being self-realized, for by such imitation one will eventually become degraded. In this verse, Srila Rupa Goswami advises the devotee to be intelligent enough to distinguish between the Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. The devotee should also know his own position and should not try to imitate a devotee situated on a higher platform. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given some practical hints to the effect that an Uttama Adhikari Vaishnav can be recognized by his ability to convert many fallen souls to Vaishnavism. One should not become a spiritual master unless he has attained the platform of Uttama Adhikari. A neophyte Vaishnav or a Vaishnav situated on the intermediate platform can also accept disciples, but such disciples must be on the same platform, and it should be understood that they cannot advance very well toward the ultimate goal of life under his insufficient guidance. Therefore, a disciple should be careful to accept an Uttama Adhikari as a spiritual master.
nana shastra vicharane kana kana sad dharma sangsthapaka lokanam hitakarinam.
And now text 6. Drishtaistva bhava janater vapushashchato shayar na prakritatvam iha bhakta janasya pashyet gangam basam nakalu budbuddha pena pankair brahma dravatvam apagach hati nira dharmai. Translation. Being situated in his original Krishna conscious position, a pure devotee does not identify with the body. Such a devotee should not be seen from a materialistic point of view. Indeed, one should overlook a devotee's having a body born in a low family, a body with a bad complexion.